said that when we look at the life of Job, the important thing is that you have the voice of God in your life.
Tamin'andro ny resaka tamintsika ny resaka momba ny tantaran'i Job dia hoe ny anisan'ny zava-dehibe dia hoe ianao maheno ny feon'Andriamanitra amin'ny fiainanao.
Sometimes we can be suffering, but when God speaks, He brings life to us.
Anatsika miaina irifiry fa nefany tena zava-dehibe dia Andriamanitra mitsoka fiainana amin'ny fiainantsika.
We need to experience the presence of God. We need to listen for the voice of God. We need to have a real relationship with Him. And what we don't want is just feelingless religion. A kind of a routine that is dead. You just do the same thing, but that actually means nothing. And the magnificent thing about the gospel is that God is actually reaching out to us to invite us into relationship with Him. He wants a kind of connection. Not that we're worshipping from a distance, but He wants intimacy. And the most beautiful thing I've ever tasted is, honestly, I'm telling you the truth, the most magnificent thing I've ever experienced is the presence of God.
Sometimes
it's in a moment of prayer. But not every time I'm praying. Sometimes it's during worship. But not every time. And I've learned to recognize when I'm feeling God's nearness. And I treasure it. It's precious. And when you're in those moments, you don't really want to leave. You don't want to rush anywhere. And I don't understand the mysteries of God. You know, I can't explain why one day it's easy to find His presence and another day it's hard to have His presence. But I don't want to ever give up wanting His presence. And so, people follow Jesus for different reasons. Some people were following Jesus because He was giving them food. And they wanted more. Actually, they were just had carnal appetite. They just wanted to fill their stomach. And Jesus saw too many like that. And He challenged them. And He challenged them with a very strong challenge. He said, unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you can't actually have any part of me. It's in John chapter 6. And that's where I want to look first in today's sermon, is at John chapter 6. Let's look at verse 48 to 58. From 48 to 58, and you can read those 11 verses.
Izao no mofo naina, nirazanareo nihinana ny mana tany an'efitra nefa maty any. Ity no mofo izay midina avy any an-danitra, mba tsy ho faty izay mihinana azy. Izao no mofo velona izay nidina avy tany an-danitra. Raha misy mihinana ity mofo ity dia ho velona mandrakizay izy. Ary mofo izay omeko dia nofoko ho fiainan'izao tontolo izao. Dia nifanditra ny dioska nanao hoe, ataon'le io ahoana no fanomeny nofo no antsika. Fa hoy Jesosy taminy lazaiko aminareo marina dia marina tokoa raha tsy mihinana ny nofony zanak'olona sy misotro ny rany ianareo dia tsy manana fiainana ao amina dia tsy manana fiainana ao aminareo. Izay mihinana nofo tsy misotro ny rako no manana fiainana mandrakizay, ary izao hanangana azy amin'ny andro farany. Fa nofoko no tena fihinana, ary ny rako no tena fisotro. Izay mihinana nofoko sy misotro ny rako no mitoetra ao amiko, ary izao kosa ao aminy. Ary tahaka ny nanirandray, velona ahy, ary izao koa velona amin'iray. Dia tahaka izany koa izay mihinana ahy ho velona amiko. Ity ny mofo izay nidina avy tany an-danitra tsy tahaka ny razana izay nihinana efa maty ihany, fa izay mihinana ity mofo ity dia ho velona mandrakizay.
The Old Testament always carried like pictures or imagery that pointed towards the fulfillment in the New.
Ny Testamenta taloha dia nanambara naneho foana izay sary izay ilay amin'ilay fahataterahana ny ao amin'ny Testamenta vaovao.
So God kept Israel alive in the desert by providing manna for them.
Izany hoe Andriamanitra nitazona ny zanak'Israely ho velona tany anefitra tamin'ny alalan'ny nanomezany manana azy isan'andro.
But they still got old and died in the end.
Fa zareo nefa niantitra dia maty foana ihany amin'ny farany.
But the idea was that God made this provision of life.
Fa le hevitra nefa dia hoe Andriamanitra dia namatsy an'izay fiainana izay.
He gave them something from heaven.
Nanome zavatra avy any an-danitra.
And it kept them alive temporarily.
Dia nahatonga andrareo ho velona izay tamina fotoana voafetra.
Jesus is the final fulfillment of that picture.
Jesosy no mahatateraka an'izay sary izay izy no fanateterahana an'izay.
That God gives him to the world and says, if you have Jesus, you have life.
Hoe Andriamanitra nanome an'i Jesosy ho an'izao tontolo izao dia hoe raha mihinana azy ianao dia azo fiainana.
But not just temporary life, you have eternal life.
Atsy fiainana voafetra fotsiny fa tena fiainana mandrakizay.
And so Jesus uses this passage, the story, to offend the Pharisees.
Izany hoe Jesosy nampiasa an'izay teny izay tenin'Andriamanitra izay izay tantara izay nafahany nanafitohina ny fariseo.
And not just the Pharisees, but the common people.
Ary tsy ny fariseo irery ihany fa na ny olona hafa koa aza.
Who are just looking for a meal for their stomach.
Ireo izay nitady fotsiny sakafo ho an'ny vavoniny.
And he says there's much more that you could be having.
Dia hoy izy hoe maro lavitra kokoa ny zavatra afaka azonareo.
But what does he mean to eat his flesh and drink his blood?
Fihinana nefa n'ilay tiany lazaina tamin'ilay hoe mihinana ny nofony sy misotro ny rano.
He's not talking about literally eating his flesh or drinking his blood.
Izy tsy miresaka hoe arabaky teny hoe hohanina ny nofony dia sotroina ny rano.
He doesn't want them to come like and attack him and bite him.
Izy tsy hoe ny fikasana dia hoe ho avy ilay olona dia tonga dia anaikitraikitra azy eo.
No, he's actually speaking about the fact that he would give up his life for them on the cross. And so J.I. Packer, a Christian author, he says this is a what Jesus says here about eating his flesh and drinking his blood is a metaphor.
Dia sarisary teny
describing the person who draws on
zay maneho an'le olona zay matsaka
who lays hold of the reality of Jesus' atoning sacrifice
zany maka ho aminy dia mitazona an'le tena zava-marina mifikitra amin'le fahamarinana hoe Jesosy dia namony ainy
by putting personal faith in him
zay amin'ny alalan'ny fametrahana finoana aminy.
In other words, to have life, Jesus is saying you must believe in me. If you believe in Jesus and you accept his body broken, his body damaged on the cross, if you accept that his blood was shed for your forgiveness, if you take it in and say, I'm taking ownership of that, I'm putting all my hope in that,
raha ho raisinao izay dia tenenao hoe apetraka ao amin'izay ny fananteninako iray manontolo sy ny amiko iray manontolo.
That's the metaphor. I'm eating his flesh and drinking his blood. I'm saying it's for me.
Dia izay ilay sary teny miteny hoe hoaniko ny nofony ary sotroko ny rano satria teneniko hoe anahy izany.
The commentators on the Bible,
ireo commentateurs en Bible,
they say this text doesn't just point to the Lord's Supper. It doesn't only point to communion.
tsy manondro makany amin'ny fanasan'ny tompo fotsiny le izy le fandraisana fanasan'ny tompo farany.
It points to what communion points to.
Fa manondro no hoe inona ny tondrony ny fandraisan'ny fanasan'ny tompo.
The work of the cross.
Ny asa teo amin'ny hazo
fitsidiana. That Jesus' body was broken for us and his blood was shed for us. And so this morning I want to speak about communion. I want to speak about the Lord's Supper. And I want to talk about how it works for us. So let's look at Matthew chapter 26. And read from verse 26 to 28.
Arambulani inanis de nandray mofo Jesus, kanon efa nisaotra izy de novakiny ka natolo ny mpianany aroa izy raiso hamy itiny tenako nandraika poka izy kanon efa nisaotra de natolo ny azy ka nataony hoe sotronareo rehetra ity fa itiny rako de ny amin'ny fanekena izay alatsaka ho an'ny maro ho famelan-keloka.
So Jesus is sitting with his disciples.
It's at
the time of the Passover. And he breaks bread, which was a common thing. They had bread at meals and they would break it apart and share it. He gave thanks. He gave it to the disciples. He said, "Take and eat, this is my body." Now, obviously, it's metaphorical. He's trying to make an illustration. Because he's there in the flesh. He's not, it's obviously not his body. But again, he's saying this represents my body in the way that my body is going to be killed on the cross, broken for you. And then he takes the cup and he says, "Drink from it, all of you. All of you. This is my blood of the covenant. Not my literal blood. My blood of the covenant. Which would be formed on the cross by the shedding of his literal blood." So the elements that we go to observe when we take communion are symbolic. They represent what happened on the cross. When it comes to communion, the churches, historically, it's used different words. It's been called the Eucharist.
Eucharistia.
Which means thanksgiving. So, when Jesus broke bread, he gave thanks. It's a ceremony. It's been called Holy Communion. It's been called the Lord's Supper. And it's been called breaking bread. But breaking bread is a bit vague. Because in the New Testament they describe breaking bread about 10 or 20 times. And some of those times they're not actually doing communion at all, they're just eating a meal together. Nevertheless, some of those meals where they broke bread, they probably did communion as well. So sometimes in church we'll say, "Let's break bread," but we mean let's take communion together. So I want to ask some questions. What is happening during communion? For example, is it Jesus' physical body? Which I've already answered. Is Jesus spiritually present? Which I will answer just now. And what is the sacrament about? What is a sacrament? It's a means by which God gives some grace to us. But what is that grace? Does it save us? We'll look at that. So what is happening during communion? Who can take communion? That's another question. How often and where should we take communion? It's also a question to answer. And to answer those questions, the right place to find your answer is in the Bible. The Word of God gives us answers. And sometimes churches have very strict order and very strict teaching about communion. And we seem to be quite relaxed. And I want to examine that a little bit. So, in Scripture, you get a few passages that deal with communion. We've looked at Matthew 26. There's also 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's look at that one. Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16 and 17.
Korintianina voalohany toko fafolo dia faina ambifolo sy fafito ambifolo. Ny kapoaka ny fisaorana izay isaorantsika tsy firaisana amin'ny rang Kristy va izany. Ny mofo izay vakitsika tsy firaisana amin'ny tenan Kristy va izany. Satria iray ihany ny mofo dia tena iray ihany isika na maro azy fa isika rehetra dia samy mandray amin'izany mofo izany iray avokoa.
What that text shows me is that there's symbolism involved.
Ny zavatra aseho an'io teny io dia hoe misy fanehokevitra ao anatiny.
There's a loaf of bread, and it's one loaf.
The mofo anakiray.
Well, now we've got 4 tables and 4 loaves. What are we going
to do?
It's okay. Because it's about symbolism. So when we understand the symbolism, then we honor it in the best way we can. But though we are one body, that's what's being represented, we're not a loaf of bread. Look around you. There's not a loaf of bread. So the bread is actually just being used to show us what happens. When the bread represents Jesus' body that was broken on the cross, we break it. But Paul expands that and says, here's one loaf, it represents that there is one body. When you come into Christ, He makes us one. You and I are one because of Jesus. He was broken so we could be made whole. And we, the church, are the body of Christ, and we're one body. And let's go on and look at 1 Corinthians 11. And these are the bad Corinthians setting a bad example again. So let's read from 1 Corinthians 11, verse 20, verse 30.
Korintiana voalohany a toko faraika ambin'ny folo andiny faharoapolo ka hatramin'ny fahatelopolo.
You are 20 to 30.
Ko raha miangona ianareo dia tsy misy hihinana ny fanasany tompo-kory. Fa raha mihinana ianareo dia samy omana ny sakafo ny avy aloha ianareo. Ko ny anankiray dia noana fa anankiray kosa mamo. Moa tsy manantrano hihinanana sisotroana va ianareo? Samy manao tsinotsinona ny fiangonan'Andriamanitra ka manome henatra ny tsy manana. Inona no izaiko aminareo? Hideranareo va tsy hideranareo amin'izany aho? Fa izao izay fa izao efa nandray tamin'ny tompo izay natolotra reo kosa. Fa Jesosy tompo tamin'iny alina iny izay namadiana azy dia nandray mofo. Ary efa nisaotra izy dia novakiny ka hoy izy, ity ny tenako hoanareo, izao atao fahatsiarovana ahy. Dia araka izany koa ny kapoaka rehefa nihinana dia hoy izy, ity ny kapoaka no ilay fanekena vaovao amin'ny rako. Izao no ataovo fahatsiarovana ahy, na ovinana misotra anareo. Fa na ovina no mihinana itony mofo itony sy misotro ny amin'ny kapoaka dia manambara ny fahafatesan'ny tompo ianareo mandra-piavany. Ka nazovy no mihinana amin'ny mofo sy misotro amin'ny kapoaka ny tompo amin'ny fanatsy mendrika dia omeloka ny amin'ny tena sy ny rano tompo izy. Fa aoka ny olona amantatra ny tenany dia aoka izy hihinana amin'ny mofo sy misotro amin'ny kapoaka. Fa izay rehetra mihinana amin'ny mofo dia mihinana sy misotro fanamelohana ho amin'ny tenany raha tsy mamantatra ny tena izy. Noho izany dia betsaka marary sy marofy eo aminareo ary maro ihany koa nefa nodimandry.
So in the church at Corinth,
zany hoe fiangonana tany Korinto,
they were a bit selfish,
somary titeny zareo,
and they took communion, but it was a kind of a meal,
zany hoe nanao an'izay fanasana izay izy fa karazana fiaraha-misakafo le izy,
and part of the meal would be this highly symbolic act of breaking bread and drinking wine.
Dia tao anatin'ilay fiaraha-misakafo anisan'le hoe fomba tena manandanja be amin'le hoe fisotroanan-drazo famakiana mofo.
But there would also be eating food.
Fa nefa nisy fihinanana sakafo koa.
And there the people got together and they were too hungry.
Da veo ary efa niaraka le olona dia nona loatra zareo.
They disrespected the other guys there and they took as much as they could for themselves.
Dia tsy mifanaja tsony izy fa nalainy fotsiny izay betsaka indrindra afaka nalainy teo amin'ny sakafo.
And Paul actually rebukes them for coming hungry and says you should rather fill up at home first.
Dia nitenenin'i Paul mafy zareo hoe tonga nareo nona nefa tokony any an-trano nareo dia efa manao voky.
So it was clearly a little bit messy. It wasn't highly ceremony based. It wasn't a priest standing in robes dispensing, you know, a nip and a sip, a little bit of this and a little bit of that. It was more like we're all sitting around the table and we're all just grabbing the food from in front of each other.
Fa ohatrany hoe eo tsika mipetraka eo manoloana ny latabatra eto dia samy maka an'izay anoloana eo fotsiny.
I'm trying to show you that there wasn't actually a prescription in the Bible about exactly how to do communion.
Zany hoe tiako aseho anareo hoe ao amin'ny Baiboly tsy misy zavatra manokana tena manambara hoe ohatran'izao ny tokony ho fandraisana fanasan'ny tompo.
But there is the implication here that you have to do it with a good heart.
Fa misy an'le teny nefa neto izay milaza mihitsy hoe tsy maintsy ataonao ilay izy amin'ny fonao.
And the Corinthians didn't have a good heart.
Dia ilay Korintianina tsy nanana fo tsara.
They were actually being mean to one another and disrespecting the moment.
Vao maika ary izy mifanao toetra ratsy sy tsy mifanaja.
There are other texts in the Bible that we look at as well. And they may or may not be about communion.
But
they help us understand a bit more. So, for example, there's Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse
42. Ary izy ireo naharitra tamin'ny fampianaran'ny apostoly sy ny fiombonana sy ny famakinan'ny mofo ary ny fivavahana.
So they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. That may be about communion.
Zany hoe nanoka teny izy tamin'ny fampianaran'ny apostoly amin'ny fiombonana sy ny famakinan'ny mofo sy ny fivavahana. Mety miresaka momba fandraisana fanasan'ny tompo io.
We don't know for sure. It could just mean they got together often to have food together. So it may be about communion, it may just be about togetherness. In Acts 2 verse 46, just a few verses later,
aorina kely izay. Dia miteny hoe ary dia niraisaina isan'andro izy ka nazotona keo ankianjany tempoly ary namaky mofo tao an-trano ka nihinan-kanina teny tamin'ny fifaliana sy ny fahatsorapo.
That may well not be about communion.
Izay mety tsy voatery miresaka momba fandraisana fanasan'ny tompo.
So this could just be a way of saying they ate together with the kind of a happiness, a unity of heart.
Afaka miresaka le izy hoe niaraka omana zareo tamin'anatina fifaliana tao ampony.
And so many people have used Acts 2 verse 46 to say we should do communion in our homes.
De betsaka ny olona mampiasa ny asan'ny apostoly toko faharoa andiny fahefapolo io hoe tokony atao any an-trano izany ny fandraisana.
But there's a very weak position because scripture doesn't make it very clear.
De misy de mijoro amina toerana marefo le izy satria tsy manambara zavatra tena mazava be ny tenin'Andriamanitra mikasika an'izay.
Can you do communion in your homes?
Afaka ataonao any an-trano ve fandraisana fanasan'ny tompo?
Yes, you can.
Eny, afaka ataonao.
But is it the only place or the right place?
Fa any ihany ve ny toerana sa any ihany no mety?
We don't have a rule from the Bible.
Tsy misy lalàna ao am-baiboly.
So we have freedom.
Izany hoe malalaka tsika.
Freedom to have communion in your home, freedom to have communion in a bigger corporate meeting.
Afaka mandray ny fanasan'ny tompo any an-tranonao, afaka mandray ao anatina fivoriana misy olona maromaro.
See, in this case, breaking of bread could just mean they were having meals together.
Izany hoe eto amin'ity teny ity le zareo namaky mofo afaka miteny izay manambara hoe zareo niara-ny sakafo.
Lastly, I'll give you an example where they broke bread and it was definitely not communion.
De ame ohatra farany hoe namaky mofo zareo fa tena tsy fandraisana fanasan'ny tompo mefa nilay nataony teto.
You read Acts 27.
Asan'ny apostoly toko fa 7:30.
From verse 33 to 38.
Andefa 3:30 ka hatramin'ny fa 8:30. Ary mbola tsy nazava ny andro dia niangavy tamin'ny olona rehetra Paoly mba hihinan-kanina ka nanao hoe anio fa efatra ambin'ny folo andro ny andrasanareo sady nahaharo noana ianareo ka tsy nihinana. Koa mananatra anareo aho hihinan-kanina fa izany no isan'ny amonjenanareo ary tsy hisy ho very aminareo rehetra na dia singam-bola iray akory aza. Ary rehefa nilaza izany izy sady nandray mofo dia nisaotra an'Andriamanitra teo anatrehan'ny olona rehetra ary rehefa novakiny dia nihinana izy. Dia nahazo toky izy rehetra ka nihinana koa ary izay rehetra teo anaty sambo dia olona enina amby fitopolo amby roanjato ary rehefa voky izy dia nanariny ho any anaty ranomasina ny hanina mba hanamaivana ny sambo.
These are not Christians.
Tsy kristianina le olona teto a.
Paul's on his way to jail.
Paulia ho any ampikatrana.
But the ship is in trouble.
Fa le sambo nefa dia nandalo olana.
And he says, we need to eat.
Dia ozy izy hoe mila misakafo sika.
And so they broke bread.
Dia nivakino ny mofo.
Wasn't communion.
So
I'm just showing you that the references in Acts chapter 2 may or may not refer to communion. But in fact, in Acts 2 verse 42, it might well mean communion, but we can't prove it. So the Bible, actually, I've given you most of the text now, it isn't very prescriptive.
But
when you come to understand this whole ceremony better, you'll start to realize we can answer most of the questions. So having looked at the scriptures, I'm going to go back to the questions and start to answer them. What is happening during communion? Well, Jesus said, we should do it in remembrance of him. He didn't say how often, but he said we should do it in remembrance of him, so there's a sense of it will be fairly regular. How often do we want to remember what Jesus did on the cross? Pretty often. Regularly. Doesn't have to be every week. But now and then, fairly often, it's pretty good. And so it's a corporate celebration because in every context it's about the body of Christ together.
Sanuele izy fankalazana miaraka olona maromaro satria amin'ny teny rehetra rehetra dia hoe
it's a celebration.
Fankalazana le izy
and there's more than one person there.
Satria mihoatra noho ny olona anankiray no eo.
So for example,
Zanuele what
if it's about the body, about the church, then it's almost, let's say, very unusual if you're taking communion all by yourself. So though you can go home all by yourself and you can break some bread and pour some wine, it doesn't actually reflect the heart of what was happening at the Lord's Supper. Like Paul said to the Corinthians, we who are many are one body.
He
says there's one loaf because we're part of one body. And so we are celebrating Jesus. And we were also told that it's a proclamation of his death. And so we're proclaiming Jesus' death when we take communion. So that's what's happening when we break bread or when we take communion. We're doing something which reminds us of what Jesus did. Celebrates the body that he has made, that he made the church one. And we're proclaiming his death. So, is it his physical body? No. It's a symbolic act. It's a holy moment. I actually think God is present. When we go to that table, God is there, he's present at this holy moment. How do I figure that out? It's not just because I feel his presence. I might not feel his presence. But when I look at what happened to the Corinthians, Paul says, you're not discerning the body and you're eating this meal in an unworthy manner. And that's why God's judgment has come on you. And many of you are sick and some have died. In other words, God is present and involved when we go to take communion. He was there to witness the Corinthians make a mess of it. And he brought some kind of a judgment on them. Not an eternal judgment, an earthly discipline. So God is a witness to it. When we go just now to the table, and we are going to do that just now, God is a witness to that. And so the expectation was to take it seriously, and the Corinthians weren't actually doing this lovingly. They weren't loving one another. They weren't respecting the moment.
So
is Jesus there? I want to say yes. And I can. Because he says, when two or more are gathered in my name, I am there with them. So when we go to the table as Christians, we're going to celebrate Jesus' death and his atoning sacrifice and to give thanks. And so we're doing it in the name of the Lord. When you gather in the name of the Lord, Jesus is there with you. I'm telling you this for a reason. It's not a ritual ceremony alone. It's not just that. It's an opportunity for you to draw near to God and experience His presence. And it's a holy moment that you partake of. Where are my questions? So, as a sacrament, it is a sacrament.
Sacrament,
what does that mean? It's a moment where you can receive some kind of grace from God. I don't go to communion and leave the same. I leave encouraged. I leave sobered, realizing that Jesus died for me. I leave free because I've been forgiven of my sins. Not by taking communion, but because of what Jesus did on the cross. So is it a sacrament? Yes. It's a holy moment that gives you some revelation of the grace of God. Is it required for salvation? No. The work of the cross is. That's for your salvation. Communion is to celebrate that moment. Having communion doesn't save you, it celebrates your salvation. The thief on the cross never broke bread. But Jesus said to him, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." This is how we know baptism doesn't save you, communion doesn't save you. So the sacraments that we hold, which are baptism and communion, they're not in order to save us, they're in order to celebrate salvation. They're a holy commemoration of Jesus. Second question, who can take communion? Well, it's obvious that partaking symbolically of the body of Christ and His blood is for a believer to do. That's the whole point of John chapter 6. Jesus says, "If you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you're going to have eternal life." He's saying, if you believe in me, put your faith in the work of the cross, you will be born again. And you will have eternal life in Him. And so if you go today to the table, it's because you identify with the work of the cross. And you're saying, "I believe in Jesus as my Savior." There's no relevance to partaking of the symbolic act if you haven't believed in the literal act. So if a non-Christian goes there, it's meaningless. It doesn't save him, it doesn't kill him. His sins kill him and Jesus saves him. So if an unbeliever sneaks in there and gets some bread and grape juice, I don't care. It's just bread and grape juice. Except for me, it's not just bread and grape juice. For me, it's the symbolic commemoration of Jesus' body and his blood for me. So it has meaning for the believer. It has no meaning at all for the unbeliever. And because we approach it with faith, we receive grace from God. If you approach it with no faith, you receive nothing. And this is the problem with religion. People carry on with no faith, doing routine things, and it means nothing to them. In this church, we don't do religious stuff. We do holy things with faith. So just now when we go to the table, we're
going
to go with faith and expectation. And we're going to have an encounter with God. So it's for believers. Any believer. Well, historically, some churches practice closed communion and some practice open communion. Some say only the members of the church. Why do they block everyone except the official members? Two reasons. They're trying to block unbelievers, and they're trying to block people who they feel are not in good standing with the church, so they don't want people to take communion in an unworthy manner. But it's not biblical. Because in 1 Corinthians 11, Paul doesn't say to the Corinthians, block those guys. Those greedy hooligans that didn't eat at home. He doesn't say stop them from having communion. He turns it the other way around. He says, you test yourself. He says, test yourself to see that you take communion in a worthy manner. So it's not for the church to block believers from coming to the communion table, but it is a responsibility on the believer to come in a good heart. So we as a church believe it's open to any believer. The third question is, how often and where should you take communion? And the Bible doesn't actually prescribe that. So you can do it regularly, occasionally, weekly. Once a month, it doesn't matter. But you do it to remember Jesus. Not once a year like the Passover. That wouldn't be often enough, would it? So finally, my last point. This is how we should do communion as a church. We want to keep it biblical. So where the Bible is not prescriptive, we are not prescriptive. We don't force rules. The Bible doesn't say there has to be a priest mediating. But if we have one, it's fine. I grew up in the Anglican church. The priest always went and prayed there, gave thanks, and then served the communion. And it was communion. It was good. But the Bible doesn't say the priest has to do it. It says we do it together as the body of Christ. It says a believer is partaking. So, priest, no priest, it's okay either way. The Bible doesn't describe how formal it has to be. In the early church, it was informal. In my early church, an Anglican church, it was formal. Both are genuine if the heart is genuine. So we can be as casual or as formal as we like, but we must be serious. So firstly, keep it biblical. Secondly, test yourself. That's what Paul wanted the Corinthian church to do. See that you recognize that you're part of the body. The body of Christ is a holy thing. So don't go there and take communion when you hate someone else in the body of Christ or you're carrying unforgiveness. Or maybe you're even against the church. You have an attitude of, I don't like the church, I only like Jesus. How can you celebrate being made one body in Christ if in your heart you actually don't love His church? So just now we're going to take a moment and I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and I want you to look at your heart. And see this grand opportunity that you have to forgive others and to receive forgiveness. Because when we come to the table, what we're really, really celebrating is that Jesus died to pay for our sins.
And
that's what we're remembering about Jesus. So close your eyes. If you haven't closed them, close your eyes. Jesus, we want to take this moment. And we want to consider the condition of our hearts. Holy Spirit, if there's anything bitter or unforgiving in us, won't you shine your light on it? Father, you've taught us to say, we forgive those who sinned against us. Even as we say, forgive us for our sins. Thank you for this, Lord, that the cross affords us the opportunity. That we can receive forgiveness. And so we want to give forgiveness too. To everyone who's hurt us, everyone who we've clashed with or had an argument with, to everyone we've had a bad attitude towards, Lord, we want to say, forgive them, Father, and we forgive them. Father, I release everyone. If I ever held something against someone in my heart, I forgive them now. And Lord, we want to repent of sin. We don't want to come to your table while we've got sin in our lives. So, Holy Spirit, won't you remind us of things we need to repent of? Lord, I turn away from my sin. I confess it to you in my heart and I leave it behind and I turn towards you. And
dia ho avelako andriamanitra.
I want to live a holy life, Lord.
Te anana fiainana masina.
Help me with your grace.
Ampio amin'ny amin'ny fahasoavanao.
And forgive me for my sins, Lord.
Dia mamelany heloko tompo.
May the blood of Jesus wash them away.
Aoka ny rano Jesosy ny anadio izany.
And may I walk away from the things I need to walk away from.
Ka hiala ny amin'ny zavatra rehetra tokony hialako.
I want to repent, Lord.
Dia hibebaka tompo.
And I want to walk in repentance. I want to continue on the right road.
Dia te handeha amin'ny lalana amin'ny fibebahana dia anaraka ny lalana tsara.